What you're about to listen to is a very early recording of the 4F Film Review Podcast featuring myself, Shay, and my good friend, Eric. This episode was recorded before we had hosting, chemistry, on-mic skills, or even a proper name for the podcast. Please keep all of these things in mind and try to excuse any audio or flow issues that may occur as a result of listening to two bozos talk about movies and cut their teeth in the realm of podcast production. I guarantee you that it will at least be more entertaining than all of those podcasts hosted by celebrities that are neither funny nor interesting. Enjoy. All right. Episode 3, Eric and Shay watch movies. I'm Shay. That's Eric.
It is.
Who is... Anyway, we watched Jaws today, Eric.
Yeah, we decided not to watch a bad movie.
Yes, we decided not to watch Jurassic Park, and we went with a quality film.
Jurassic Park is not a bad movie.
Jurassic
Park... Well, we'll see. We'll judge that.
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
You have not seen Jurassic Park, jeez.
No, wow. I haven't seen anything. That's one thing that the listeners will come to learn about me over the course of this show, is that I have not seen movie one, you know? And that makes this one especially rare, because I have seen Jaws. I've seen Jaws many times, a fact that I had to keep repeating to you over the course of watching the movie.
Yeah, I was under the misunderstanding that you had not seen this before because... of so many films that are like that.
But yes.
Well, I'm glad to know that you are versed in a classic film like this.
I am extremely cultured. In many ways, Jaws is like the father of summer blockbuster movies. Would you say that?
It quite literally is. It set the prototype. Universal Pictures? Is it Universal?
I don't know.
I can't remember.
I didn't check.
Yeah, I...
We did our research going into the show. Yeah,
but,
we only watched
they,
it. We don't
but,
actually.
But I read in the production, because it came out in June, and they launched to 450 screens, which was very big for the mid 70s. This came out in 1975, and they expanded from there very quickly and changed some of their promotional stuff to like realize, whoa, we're gonna bring in even more money than we thought we might be able to. This is they knew they had a phenomena on their hand.
Yeah, and not before we get too deep into it, I bring up the father of promotional movies because I wanted to shoehorn in an awkward segue into giving a shout out to my own father, Art, who is listening to this. Hey, Dad, hope you're doing well, and get well soon. Okay, maybe this podcast will provide some healing for you. Certainly.
As long as it's not a shark bite, I mean, that
well,
would
I
be...
can't. I don't know exactly what the doctors are not sure what bit him, but it's been a
it
rough,
would yeah,
it's
yeah.
been a rough go.
Well,
he's missing half his leg, and they haven't identified the bite. They think it might be a tiger shark, but I don't know.
Was it maybe a boating accident?
That's what they initially thought it was. That's what they initially claimed.
Hey, sometimes. There are other considerations like the local economy that you have to be taken
this
into account.
This is a summer town. You can't just shut down summer.
No.
Okay?
No.
Do you want to be on welfare all winter? No. Keep the water open. People can come here. They have to go in the water.
That's you know, the mentality of a summer town, which
yeah.
we have been when you get brought in as a viewer, you're an outsider, but you are immediately made aware of that too with Chief Brody, that he's an outsider.
He's not an islander.
He's
he
not
wasn't
an
born
islander.
There.
Correct.
Like the
he
lady
came,
said.
He came here from the big city thinking he could make a difference. And, you know.
Make a difference. He probably thought, oh, this will be an easy job.
Well,
he probably wasn't interested in making a difference. He was
but
probably
he talked about making a difference. He talked
really?
About feeling like the crime and stuff in New York City, it was just overwhelming, and he came out to Amity Island to, you know, make a difference.
None of this sounds like a cop who's like especially enthusiastic about making a difference. If you want to make a difference, you got to go on the bad beat. You got to go on down the mean streets.
Oh.
Not Amity. It's a summer town. There's like 3 months a year where anything happens at all, and it's all just drunk tourism.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it could have been all cope. That we're hearing from Chief Brody that he did actually want a cushy gig.
I want to know more about Chief Brody's past. Where I like we need a Jaws prequel that has nothing to do with Jaws.
Yeah. Actually, that all the Jaws sequels were trash. So maybe we should try the Jaws prequel.
Oh man, I think we might get writing on get the. I'll do the screenplay. You can do. whatever it is you do.
Now, what does Jaws do in his half of the prequel would be my thing. Is like, does he first get taste for like something that's close to mammalian?
Here's your idea, okay? The movie is half live action, half animated. The animated portion is when we get to meet baby Jaws. You know, baby shark. It's a phenomenon.
Right, right. Oh, yeah, yes, I've heard.
Yeah, that's him, dude.
Yeah,
We could probably get Baby Shark licensing on board with this.
We can get Mama Shark. You wouldn't expect... Nobody expects Mama Shark.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Well, because you got Baby Shark, Baby Shark, Baby Shark, Mama Shark.
Yeah.
Isn't there?
Are there other characters I don't know. You're the one who...
Because there's a Baby Shark. I thought there's a Mama Shark that's in the song or something like that.
It was an orphanage shark.
Oh, wow. This got really deep on Baby Shark all of a sudden.
Well, listen, we're talking about Jaws lore. We should talk about Baby Shark lore because the two are connected.
I mean, would sharks still matter in the popular zeitgeist today if there was no Jaws?
No. There is no Shark Week without Jaws.
There's no Shark Week.
There's no Sharknado.
Yeah.
There's no... I mean, sharks might have been hunted to extinction anyway because of this movie.
Do we have Crocodile Hunter today? Because like he went down, he died famously, like skin diving and whatnot. Was he like looking for sharks? Maybe?
No, I don't know what he was looking for, but he was stung by like a manta ray.
I know he was killed by a manta ray. Yeah, but there might have been like, oh, we might see a shark, and that would pump the Discovery Channel numbers, because they had Shark Week too. So
there was a Shark Week advertisement like little flyer thing in my DVD copy of Jaws. I didn't show it to you, but it's in there.
Well, I mean, that's on brand.
I wonder how much is launching during Shark Week.
Oh, it is. That sounds right. It's always Shark Week somewhere.
Yeah, that's how that works. So let's back up a little bit and talk about the context in which we first saw this movie. That seems like something we do on this show. We talk about the first time we saw Jaws. When did you first see Jaws? That came out before you were born.
Yeah. Well before I was born. But I think every context I've seen it in was on TV, like on cable, on TBS or whatever. Shout out to the Turner Broadcasting Station.
Sure.
I always saw it on TV and it'd be cut in pieces, you know, through commercial breaks and stuff like that. But, you know, so I always saw it that way.
So when was the first time you watched the full movie from beginning to end? Do you remember?
I don't remember offhand, because it would be always the thing where you'd see it in like chunks, so to speak.
We should pause for a moment and talk to the kids listening to this show about how you sometimes just only ever saw movies on TV.
Yeah.
You didn't have the home video release because you had to rent it from the video store, or you had to own the DVD like later.
Right.
When DVDs...
And sometimes you wouldn't see the full movie. You would just see like the back half of it, and you'd kind of have to piece it together. And then you would see it again when they'd like rerun it like 6 weeks later.
And that was a way that you could get a sense of what a movie was without actually paying the money to rent it, which was kind of cool.
Like, yeah.
And you got a sense of whether you wanted to invest in a series of movies just by seeing a little bit of it on TV. And like, oh, that looks cool. I'll go rent that later or buy it or whatever. That's how we got me into the Fast and the Furious movies.
Oh my gosh.
We saw Fast Five in that hotel in Pittsburgh.
Just saw a little bit of it, and you were like, okay,
my God,
wait a
this
sec.
Is stupid. We have to watch this.
Yep.
I didn't understand, and now I do.
Yeah, you most certainly do.
I very much do now. So Jaws is a movie. Ultimately, it's a movie about society's reaction to a crisis, I think, is the larger theme of it. Like, yeah, there's a big shark, and like, yeah, it's a horror movie. Yeah, it's kind of an action movie. Yeah, it's kind of a drama. But
no, that's a good way to frame it, because there's like an aversion to recognize the crisis. There's like trying to cope or explain it away, you know, or say, oh, we actually solved it, and they really didn't.
Can you think of any recent, let's say in the last 5 years, human crises or events that occurred, maybe on a global level, where people may have reacted in a similar way to the people in this movie?
I don't understand what you could be alluding to, or how, like, you know, people's reactions could get caught up and things get carried away, and, you know, I don't know. It's a unique human phenomena, I think, maybe, that we're speaking to in Jaws.
Yeah, I think Jaws is...
These things don't recur in society among people.
Never. I think it is impressive to me how much, being serious for a moment, how much truth they were able to capture in people's reaction to finding out that there had been shark attacks. Because you have the businessmen who are like, we can't shut the city down. This is all we have. Like, this is the window that we have right now. You cannot close this thing down and tell people to leave, because there will be no money and the city is doomed.
Yeah, it's existential for them.
Yeah, and then you have politicians who have pressure, you know, from both sides, pressure from the people who want to shut it down and people who don't, and then their reaction to that, which is kind of a
ultimately paralysis. Hiding your head in the sand, you know, kind of. Just hoping everything blows over.
And in that sense, I was just really impressed by the writing, because it's very easy to make a big dumb blockbuster movie like this not true to life whatsoever.
Yeah,
we've seen that in recent movies that we've watched.
There is some, like, dumb elements to Jaws, like the way the shark behaves, especially towards the end of the movie, is kind of cartoonish in a sense. Like, but it doesn't detract from the quality of the movie. Ultimately.
No, it works. The super intelligence of Jaws is definitely explored in the sequels, which I have pitched watching, and you said I don't think so. So we probably
no.
Maybe we'll watch Jaws. We'll skip Jaws 2, because Jaws 2 is probably not bad enough.
No, it would be the others that I know are even more terrible, but yeah.
I believe the subtitle for Jaws 4 is Jaws 4 The Revenge.
That's correct.
Which is an unbelievable subtitle for a movie about a shark.
Was that the one that was, one of them's 3D, either.
Jaws 3D.
Jaws 3D, yeah. Oh, okay, yeah.
Gotta see that shark in mega 3D action.
Yeah, and, oh gosh, yeah. All the quality that 1980 whatever could muster. Man.
It's hard to believe that this movie got a sequel at all. I mean, they made a lot of money, so it's not that hard to believe. But
it was, as we noted when we were talking before this, it was the biggest box office ever at the time, surpassed a couple years later by Star Wars. But yeah, it made $460 million or something like that. Crazy box office.
Did your parents or siblings or family have any sort of reaction to this movie when they first saw it? Because my mom and dad obviously saw this movie in theaters when it came out, because everybody did. And my mom tells me stories about how they were, you know, they were kids, they were 10 to 16 years old ish and they would not, they lived on the West Coast, they weren't going in the water that summer.
I was a Midwest kid, so that wasn't nearly as much of a threat to us.
Sure.
So I don't remember any of the comments about that from anybody in my family, but I do know that that was a phenomena that, like, yeah, there were a lot of people who were freaked out about sharks for several years, and there's a bit of a phenomena of that happening when there are like persistent shark attack stories in the news. That does have an effect on, like, people going to beaches and stuff like that. It does have an effect, and that's because society has internalized Jaws to whatever extent.
Well, you and I were talking about it during the movie too. Like, neither of us like being on the open water. For me, it's not necessarily Jaws related, although you could make the argument that, for me, it's like, I don't know what's under there, so I'm not interested in being above it.
Yeah, yeah.
It could be a shark. I mean, I'm afraid of a lot of things, but...
Yeah, we kind of share this fear, and yes, there's this vastness to the ocean, and it's like, I don't know what's, like, 4 feet down. I can't see down there. And yeah, there's big things that you don't know, and stuff that can kill you.
And not to mention, like, a situation in which you and I would be on the open water would be like a cruise scenario, and that's scary for all sorts of other reasons.
Oh my
too.
God. Who? Oh, Jesus.
You ever been on a cruise?
No. I'm not in any...
You're not going to go on Jam Cruise 2026?
No, I have no I have no desire to be locked locked on a boat.
That would not be a group of people.
With a bunch of jam band people. No, that's...
People are scarier than sharks, I think, is what we're ultimately...
Especially jam band people and mouths. Yeah. You know, that, and when you're trapped with them, yeah, it's... That's a dicey proposition.
So over the course of the movie, there are a number of things that jump out to us as watchers. We say, oh, I really liked that. I love that moment. I love that crazy camera shot of zooming in while zooming out at the same time while he's sitting on the beach and seeing the shark for the first time. We love the tension. We love the scene where they're comparing their scars on their legs and arms and stuff. What stuck out to you in this movie? Like, what were your favorite moments?
Well, we do need to talk about the music just in general. Like, that's a big character in the film, which, like, the music, this the simple da-da. I mean, it's right. So imitatable. It's
instantly recognizable. This would be appropriate like usage of the word iconic, by the way.
Yeah. Kids who have probably never seen Jaws, they still know about it. You know, they'll still have gotten it from osmosis in other places and stuff like that.
Imitated everywhere throughout pop culture. Correct. This movie. And it was a joke, too. Like, the theme was a joke. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Which is a great story. Look it up. I won't recount it here.
It wasn't a joke so much as just John Williams was... Steven Spielberg interpreted it. He thought it was a joke when John Williams first played it to him because he was just playing two notes on a piano. But, you know, you layer in some strings and stuff like that, and it just, it oozes suspense. And the music is, like, taking the place of the malfunctioning mechanical shark, which could not be shown for very much in the film. But
when they
that
did
doesn't matter.
When they did show it, I thought it was really effective. But before we move off the music, because the music is almost a character, like you say, the no music also. There are a lot of scenes no music, which is not typical for a horror movie, especially when there are jump scares involved, and you expect a short hit of strings to be accompanied with said jump scare. But really, that doesn't happen. And there's not any jump scares in this
movie, when you first really see him, see the shark, which is when Brody is chumming the water, there's no music at that point. And he's just like, he is scared shitless, really.
Yeah, he can't speak because he's so frightened in that moment. And everyone's seen that gif too. But, like, again, another example of this movie just being culturally osmosis into everybody's brains. But the way that they use no music in a lot of the big important scenes is really striking, to the point where I even commented during the climax of the movie, the final moments of that shark's life when he's swimming up to the sinking ship with Brody on it. Brody's got the shotgun. There's, like, no music until the very final moments.
Yeah, until the shark starts approaching him before...
On his final run, shall we say.
It's silent. And, yeah, it's crazy that, yes, at the climax of a movie that you don't have...
This big bombastic arrangement.
Filled with, like, two-thirds, like... 20 different CGI characters and explosions and booms and you know, some crazy, you know, music in the background that they licensed and, you know, whatever.
Take note, directors, you don't, less is more.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And there's this dude, the dude that made this, and he wasn't, you know, he did a couple of TV things and a couple of smaller films. And Steven Spielberg, because ultimately the guy actually turned out, even though he's like 28 years old, he like kind of knew what he was doing, even if the production was kind of a mess. He knew how to use a camera. he knew how to adapt. Like, oh, the shark isn't working well. Oh, okay, I can figure out some ways how we can shoot around this and how we're going to edit it and use the music as you do. He really was able to craft something that has been imitated in ways ever since.
I wonder how much arguing he as the director or the producers as his sort of shield, I guess, had to do with the studio over the fact that they were over budget, that the production was a mess, that you had this kid directing this movie, younger than both of us. What have we done?
Yeah.
He directed Jaws.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those where, I mean, it was like, I can't remember, it was like $3.5 million budget or whatever.
It was $9 million budget. Oh, it was $3.5 million over, I think, is the,
okay,
the key. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was significantly over budget for the time, but, you know, I think that the studio probably had just enough invested in it, and there was enough of a premonition of like, we could have a decent hit on our hands here.
Do you think it was one person standing up and championing what was going on and what the script was? And
no, I don't think it was anything that dramatic, probably. Okay. Although it could be that way.
You could make a bad movie about that. You could make a bad documentary style film about the making of Jaws.
I would be curious if what the internal discussions were like at the studio when they were having issues.
Let's watch it again. Let's throw the commentary
similarly, there was a lot of, I remember when Titanic was being made and there was all sorts of stories about what a mess the production was and sets sinking and all this and it was significantly over budget, but you know, James Cameron, he always came through with making money. So even though it was like, I remember it was like $250 million or something like that, it ended up being the most expensive movie made when it came out, but
also ended up being the highest grossing of all time.
It ended up breaking the record, but you know, that was no sure thing, but you know, but James Cameron was also really good at making young girls cry, so you know, he knew how to make money.
A skill that we all aspire to. The money one, not the other one.
Right.
Or, you know, maybe a little bit of column A, a little of column B. I guess it should be said that at the end of the movie, I said it's preposterous that they were able to make a sequel to this. And we've kind of touched on the sequels of Jaws a little bit. But you said, well, when they make that much money, it's not an issue. But then you go and bring up Titanic. They didn't make Titanic 2.
Correct.
You can make Titanic 2. Just go into the future, make a fictional ship.
I was going to say, I think James Cameron might have more scruples or whatever, but there's the great story about when he went to make Aliens, and his pitch was literally writing Alien and then S and made it a dollar sign, and then everybody just applauded.
Is that real?
Yeah, that's 100%
fantastic.
Real.
And Aliens is a good movie too, so it's not as though it didn't work.
It did, but it was cynical in a sense from that perspective. But you know, I mean, he hadn't made all his money yet. You know, he had to keep building it up. While we're on the subject of box office, yeah, $477 million. So,
that's a lot of potatoes.
You know, I mean, comparing that to Independence Day, which, like we said in the last episode, did like 11x, this is doing 53x or so.
It's a lot
of
money.
That's a pretty sound investment, you know?
You'll never have to work again with that kind of money.
No. Universal, they made back their money and then some with that. Whatever hand-wringing was going on behind the scenes, you know, they were able to slap each other on the back and pour another...
toast a pint glass of wine to the success of this movie.
Yeah, and whatever else they would do.
I do feel like we talk about money and budgets and that type of stuff a lot on this show, and I think it's because we're inherently interested in being filthy rich ourselves.
Well, of course. Well, we are talking about summer blockbusters.
Oh, that's
too.
True. Yeah,
so
that's a good point.
That is a common thing. While we're talking about money, in essence, also one thing I did note from this that did not translate from Armageddon and Independence Day was that the blue collar representation through Quint,
yep.
He was shown to be the smart person. He way more smart than Mr. Hooper.
He was right more than the ocean. How have we not talked about Robert Shaw and Richard Dreyfuss at all?
Yeah,
yes,
that's
unbelievable.
We have not. They both put in fantastic performances, but the blue collar man ends up going down. He's shown to be the wiser person, but he doesn't make it to the end of the film.
He's not really the hero.
No, he's not.
He doesn't really have any heroic moments. In fact, he loses his freaking mind and destroys the radio, and he drives the boat too hard at the end, and they don't get back to shore.
I believe that they're trying to echo a certain Captain Ahab element at that point, where he's so invested in besting the shark and exercising his internal demons over his past that he is forgoing his safety and that of everyone else.
Despite being the blue collar guy, he's not the relatable one, which is I think the difference between this movie, Independence Day, and Armageddon.
Yeah, there is a different class dynamic and understanding.
The relatable guy is Brody, the guy who doesn't like the water, mm-hmm. is just terrified to be a part of this at all.
Yeah, but he feels it's his duty or obligation as the police chief, as someone who's supposed to bring safety to this town.
As far as authority figures, he does a better job than anyone else in this movie does.
Yeah, certainly better than the mayor, the hack,
or the oceanographer who is more obsessed with taking pictures of the shark than actually killing it.
Yes,
in that one scene.
One of the best parts that I had completely forgotten is he's telling Chief Brody to go further out onto the pulpit, like on the edge of the ship, and he's like, I need it for scale.
And Brody's just terrified. Why should I go out there? Why? And then he finally just says, I need it for scale so they can see how big the shark is. It's hilarious. There are a lot of funny, like, levity type moments in this film. There's something for everybody. That's the true essence of a summer blockbuster, right? Something for the kids, something for the parents, something for the horny teenagers. That you got that scene at the beginning where they're all having a good time at the campfire. Like, it's just a nice all-American film.
Yep. Yeah, and
it takes place on July 4th, man.
It does. It was another Independence Day.
All of these movies take place on July 4th.
They do.
Wait, when does Armageddon take place? I don't know.
Well, it's spiritually Independence Day. We declared independence from Big Asteroid.
Is it a meteor or an asteroid before it hits the Earth? There's a difference there.
It's an asteroid when it's falling to the Earth.
Okay, but is it a meteor when it's in space? Is it? It's still a meteor until it enters the atmosphere, or when it hits the Earth, it becomes an asteroid.
I believe that's the distinction.
Well,
speaking of which, we actually did see that there's one shot when it's nighttime where there is an asteroid, a shooting star that is captured, which was like, whoa, that's crazy that they happened to catch that on film.
And if you look closely in that shot, you can actually see the ship from Armageddon flying towards it.
Yeah.
So they're happening concurrently. You just don't know.
They went so fast in Armageddon that they went back in time 23 years and were, they managed to save us.
Time travel is so difficult to explain in science fiction movies. It's best to just not ask too many questions.
Right. That's ultimately the secret of any time travel movie is you don't talk too much about it. And then you don't have to deal with all these pesky questions.
Exactly. You kind of do this hand-waving motion when you talk about any of the actual science
aspects. Exactly.
Did this movie have enough science in it for you? There was an egghead character.
No, you don't really need too much science. You know, big fish eats people. Gotta kill big fish.
You don't need a lot of science to do that story.
No,
yeah.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
I mean, you do need to know, and they helpfully explain, right when they get into the ship and, oh, compressed air is explosive.
There were a few breadcrumbs like that throughout the movie, you know, just your foreshadowing elements, right? Like you had early on Richard Dreyfuss going under the ocean to check to see what happened to that fisherman's boat, and he gets scared by a floating head, and then he drops all his stuff. And then later on in the movie, near the climax, when he's trying to poison the shark with his little spear up through his mouth, he drops that when the shark attacks him. Mm-hmm. So there are moments where you can kind of see what's coming up if you're paying close attention, and it's well done from a storytelling perspective.
Yeah, you know, in summation, I guess we'd say that Jaws, it's a pretty good movie.
We're going out far
on a limb saying that.
Yeah, it's a really controversial take, as opposed to Armageddon. Well, that movie sucked. Independence Day, yeah, well, that was all right, I guess.
I know, we're taking real controversial stances at this point.
I will say that, you know, we are going from worst to best so far. Next week we're watching Jurassic Park.
Yeah,
what does that mean as far as, will the trend continue, or will we start a new awful trend where it's all downhill from here?
I think we will be kind of, we've gone a little bit of a hill, and now we're gonna go down a little bit.
Okay,
I don't think the step down to Jurassic Park will be terribly far. It's possible actually that Jurassic Park might be on par with Jaws.
Wow.
In terms of enjoyment, yeah, it might be, because it's the first one, good. It's a good movie, or good enough, enjoyable. We've gone through this.
I mean, it's very enjoyable,
enjoyable and good. There's a part of me that's fighting with it, because when I was a kid, I was definitely big into Jurassic Park. So there's the inner 12-year-old in me that. Really,
effing dinosaurs,
that,
man!
I know, dude. Yeah. It was a dinosaur movie, dude. That was like, we hadn't had one of those when I was a kid.
Shark movie, dinosaur movie, put them together. Maybe you have the fifth movie that we'll watch for Eric and Shay Watch Movies.
Maybe.
Don't spoil it.
We'll see.
It's
more a thing right now where I think the link is more creatures eating people. Is starting to be the link.
Maybe so. Instead of doing a whole run of shows, like four shows, five shows, where we watch thematic movies, maybe the next movie is one that reminds us of the previous movie.
Yeah.
And we just play word association, but with movies.
Exactly. Something like that.
Okay.
But anyways, we are on to Jurassic Park, and we'll see you there.
Look at you trying to wrap the show. What a pro.
I know. Three episodes in. I've got it down.
You've nailed it.